Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, the continuation of our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. If you would like a copy of the study guide and the study notes as they are made available each week in advance of the study, visit basicgospel.net/teaching. There you can order your copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide and download the free notes each week. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now to continue our study, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are continuing in our study. We're on page 36, the section that says, say no to sin. And yes, I am really saying that you, as a believer in Christ, can say no to sin.
No. Can't do that.
So I know so many of us think that, that's just an impossible expectation, that we really ought to just wipe that off the chart, so to speak, and resign ourselves to doing the best we can and hopefully saying no sometimes and getting lucky every once in a while. But that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches us that we can say no to sin, and it's not because of our human effort. It's not because of what we bring to the table. It's because of Christ Jesus, who is alive, living in us. He leads us. He guides us. He's going to lead us away from sin, down the paths of righteousness. And as we learn to trust him, we are going to learn to say no to sin. Exactly what the Word of God says. So we're on page 36, the middle of the page, saying no to sin. Before we dive in, just a brief summary. This is the chapter that is entitled Great Expectations. And it starts with the story of Herschel Walker. When I was a senior at the University of Georgia, Herschel Walker was a freshman. And when he showed up, the entire expectation of the Georgia football program changed, simply because a young man from South Georgia showed up. His presence changed the entire expectation. Yes. Well, somebody has showed up for us. His name is Jesus Christ. When we come to faith in Christ, when we believe that gospel message, Jesus comes to live inside of us. He is the gift of salvation. So it's his life that we now have. And because he's alive living in us, we can have expectations. They're realistic because they're pinned to Jesus.
Yes.
If they were pinned to us, they would be unrealistic expectations. So the first thing that we talked about last week was the fact that we can expect to walk in assurance of salvation, that we can expect that the God of this universe will calm our hearts, quieten our anxieties, that his love will cast out our fears and put us on the solid rock of assurance of salvation. And that's happened to people all over this world. And one of the most requested resources that we have here at Basic Gospel is a CD that I did a number of years ago called Drive the Stake. And it's a message that answers that question about assurance of salvation. And we get letters and calls and emails constantly saying, thank you for putting us on that solid rock where we know that we know that we know that we have Christ, and because we have Christ, we have life everlasting. So that's the first thing that we can expect as believers in Christ, is to walk in assurance of salvation because of the indwelling presence of Jesus himself. The second thing is that we can expect to say no to sin. Now, many try and many fail. I was a part of that group for many, many years, but they go about it the wrong way. I was going about it the wrong way. I was relying on willpower and sheer grit to withstand the onslaught. That never works. As I tweeted the other day, do not taste, do not handle, do not touch, does not work as far as the Christian life is concerned. I mean, we can regulate ourselves to death. We can put boundaries all around us. But if we're trying to say no to sin through sheer willpower, through human effort, we are going to give in. We are going to succumb to the temptation. We need a power greater than ourselves. And we have that power in the person of Christ Jesus. So saying no to sin is actually the result of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. This is grace in action. It's the grace of God that saved us. It's the grace of God that sustains us. It's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to unrighteousness and to ungodliness and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. And that's a powerful passage out of the book of Titus. And let me just read it again for us. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It, the grace of God, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So in that passage, Richard, how does the grace of God instruct us to live as children of God?
To live by grace through faith and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives by grace through faith.
In Jesus.
Yes.
Absolutely. So we can expect to say no to sin because of the indwelling presence of God. So here this grace of God has appeared. Here this grace of God teaches us. And this isn't just a once and done lesson. The grace of God is constantly teaching us, renewing our minds, showing us that that old way of life that we were rescued from is actually empty and meaningless. And as it says in Ecclesiastes, it's all vain. It's just meaningless stuff. Mm-hmm. And as we learn that lesson, when those temptations come our way, it's easy to say no to emptiness. It's easy to say no to things that are of little or no value. And that's what the grace of God teaches us, is that old way of life was really empty. It was meaningless. It was filled with all sorts of harm and pain and sorrow and suffering. And as we learn about that and recognize this new way of life we have in Christ, that it is far superior, outstrips everything that the world has, then it's easy to start saying no. That's how the grace of God teaches us to say no to sin. But it doesn't stop there. It teaches us how to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So we know that's the picture. You know, we all know that, you know, here's what the Christian life should look like. The question is, how do we get there? Here's what my life looks like through human effort. Here's what I think the Christian life should look like. How do I go from point A to point B? It's the grace of God that takes us there. Mm-hmm. How did we go from death to life in Jesus Christ? The grace of God took us there. The grace of God met us at our point of need, the fact that we were dead in sin, the fact that we were sinners, the fact that we were lost. The grace of God met us at that point of need and that took us from that state and transferred us into the kingdom of light, into Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So how does the grace of God take us from that old way of living through human effort, through rules and regulations, into the newness of life? By the grace of God. Yeah. That's how we get there. So the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age.
This particular passage to me is one of the proofs that the fruit of the Spirit includes patience, because with grace being the teacher, that is the Holy Spirit, the patience that he has expended on my behalf while teaching is beyond belief. And that's why once we begin to catch this stuff, we can begin to be patient with other people.
Absolutely. I think that's an excellent point, Richard. So the grace of God goes far beyond merely teaching us to say no to sin. It really does teach us how to live as children of God by grace through faith in Jesus. So what confidence can we have to overcome sin and to live victoriously in this life? There's a great passage in 1 John chapter 4. It is verse 4. And the apostle wrote this: "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them." Boy, that's an assuring passage, a comforting passage, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
To know that we have overcome the things of this world. And he goes on to say, "Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." So what is our confidence? What is our victory? Is it our human effort? Is it our good deeds? Is it the things that we bring to the table?
Never.
Absolutely not. It's the fact that the one who lives in us is greater than the one who is in the world. I was thinking the other day, you know, sin packs a powerful punch. And so if we really understand that, we're not going to get in the ring.
Yes.
But a lot of people are getting in the ring. But here's the reality. Even if we do get in the ring, we have somebody inside of us that is greater than sin. His name is Jesus. And if we will trust and abide in him, then we can avoid those punches that sin throws our way. So it is the work of God's Spirit in us. He's the one that is greater than the things of this world,
yes.
Greater than the one who is in this world. So we have a way to walk. And that way of walking is by the Spirit. And we're going to spend the rest of the broadcast looking at this particular passage in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, going all the way down through verse 25. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to open up your Bible and follow along as we read through some of these particular verses. But this is a significant passage in teaching us how the Christian life is really supposed to work. And like I said, we go about it all wrong. That's
yeah.
how I lived my life for so many years. I know that's how you lived your life for so many years. We're just backwards as far as the Christian life is concerned,
yeah.
but we're bringing human logic to it. Now we have to see it from God's perspective and bring godly logic to this Christian life. And when we bring godly logic to it, it really starts to make sense. So you're listening to Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher. We're working through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. We're on page 37. If you're just now tuning in and you would like to find out information on how you can get a copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, we invite you to visit our website at basicgospel.net/teaching. So basicgospel.net/teaching. This is, I think, lesson 15 in this particular study. The previous 14 lessons are all available. You can listen to the audio version of it. We also have these on video. So if you're more of a visual person and you would like to watch this particular lesson, you can do so and you can catch up. But all of that information is at basicgospel.net/teaching. So we invite you to go there and be a part of this study. This is also a wonderful study that you can share with others.
Yes.
Maybe you get 10 copies of the study guide, 10 copies of the book, and you gather a group of people to meet in your home, maybe in a Sunday school class. And all of these lessons that we're doing can be a resource to you to help you communicate the good news of Jesus Christ and teach others how this Christian life is really supposed to work. So we want you to take advantage of these resources, not only for your own journey with Christ, but in helping others, being ministers of life and ministers of reconciliation within your sphere of influence. So this is a wonderful, wonderful resource. So walking in the Spirit, that's our new way of life. Paul put it this way in Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So, Richard, how does Paul encourage us to live in Galatians 5:16?
Walking by the Spirit.
Walking by the Spirit. That's kind of a odd phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, if you think of it in our normal human terms,
yeah.
you know, that I have to do something, it's my strength, my will. It's not. It's the Spirit living inside of us.
Absolutely. So as we walk by the Spirit, what is the result of that walking by the Spirit according to this passage?
We will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Okay. So a couple of things about this passage that I think are important for us to take note of. So it says, walk by the Spirit, and the byproduct, the result of that, is that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, here's how we go about it backwards. We try to clean up our flesh, and in so doing, we think that's walking by the Spirit. But that's not it at all.
No.
As soon as we try to walk down that path of cleaning up the flesh, we're going to get entangled in the flesh, and we're going to find ourselves carrying out the desires of the flesh. So men, if you're listening, many men out there have problems with anger. I've had problems with anger. I think all of us at some point or another have had problems with anger, and we don't like it when we explode. We know it's harmful. We know it's harmful to ourselves. We know it's harmful to others, and we feel awful when we explode that way. And so most of us will wake up when we're having those anger issues. We'll wake up and we'll have this prayer on our hearts. Lord, I don't want to be angry today. Help me not be angry. And so our minds are on God cleaning up our flesh.
Yeah.
You know, taking away those angry thoughts, those angry feelings, taking away those angry desires. And so we're praying constantly, Lord, take away this anger. So as we're praying that, our minds just get focused on the anger.
Yes.
And what happens is we explode even in a bigger way with anger than we had thought. And then we feel even worse. Mm-hmm. Lord, here I was praying to take away this anger, to take away this desire, and it didn't work. That prayer went unanswered. Then we get mad at God.
Yes, I thought you loved me. I thought you cared.
Yeah, our anger explodes toward him.
Yes.
And we have to realize, hey, wait a minute, we're going about it the wrong way. It doesn't say stop being angry so that you can walk in the Spirit. It says walk in the Spirit, and the byproduct of that is you will not fulfill those angry desires. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a huge, monumental shift in thinking and in execution. So walking by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let's take another example of that. Say you do something wrong toward me, or that's probably not going to happen. So take a realistic situation. I'm going to do something wrong toward you. Now, your flesh at that point is going to desire to do something. What would your flesh desire to do in that case?
Complete utter destruction.
Get even. Or get ahead. Yeah, you want to get ahead. The flesh wants to get ahead. No. We don't want to just be even. The flesh just doesn't want to be even. The flesh wants to get ahead. So if you listen to the flesh is going to concoct some plan, going to hatch a scheme where you can not only get even, but get ahead.
Okay? Yep.
So that's the desire of the flesh. It's going to be there in that particular situation. There's also going to be a desire of the Spirit. What's the desire of the Spirit going to be in your life at that particular moment?
To forgive.
To forgive and to be reconciled.
Yeah.
Now, that's a desire of the Spirit. That's not something that you've come up with. That's God's Spirit working forgiveness and reconciliation into your heart and saying, this is the way to go. So as you step out, walk by the Spirit, extend forgiveness and reconciliation. The byproduct of that is you're not going to fulfill that desire for revenge. Mm-hmm. That just goes by the wayside. It was there. It gets totally diminished, overpowered by this desire of the flesh or by this desire of the Spirit that is now being lived out.
Let's take those two examples very quickly. When I'm struggling not to be angry, and if you've hurt me, and I say, I won't be angry, that's when you discover the statement is true that revenge is a dish best served cold. I'm not angry, so I'm thinking clearly how to get back at you.
Yes.
Now you're doubly damned in that situation because it's utter loss on our parts, and the Spirit is strong enough to overcome that and to say, no, focus on me. We can get through this. Let's do it together.
Yeah. So in this instance, the way the Spirit of God teaches us to say no is to focus our attention on these new desires that he is placing within our hearts and then giving us the courage to step out on those desires. Sometimes we're reluctant to extend forgiveness. We like to hold on to grudges because, you know, what if I do that? You might run all over me. You might think that I'm weak. And we have all of these thoughts that come in that become obstacles to us. And we have to realize that, no, God is greater. God is going to take care of us. We can trust him. He's the one that really loves us most. And he's demonstrated that through his death for us on the cross. So if we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. So does walking in the Spirit mean you will not encounter temptation in life or have desires of the flesh?
No.
Absolutely not.
It actually tells the truth here.
Yes.
That you will have these desires. You just don't have to give in to them.
You don't have to give in to them. Now, this is an important truth as well, because there are many people who come to Christ. They've been in various habits. They've had these desires, and they expect all of those fleshly desires just to go away. Mm-hmm. That they're always going to think pure thoughts. They're never going to have an unpure thought again. They're never going to have a temptation again. They're never going to have a fleshly desire again. Well, that's just not true. That's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. You are going to have those fleshly desires, but the truth is you don't have to give in to those. And as you walk in the Spirit, you will see that you will not be gratifying the desires of the flesh. So when you're walking in the Spirit, what are you going to see coming out of you? Well, here's this great passage, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, And it goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. This is the fruit of the Spirit. So as we walk by the Spirit, we're going to see that fruit lived out in and through us. So that's good news, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
So these things trump those desires of the flesh. And it's so exciting when you learn to walk in the Spirit and actually abide in Jesus Christ, and you start seeing these things, and they start expanding and growing inside of you and within your relationships, and you think, wow, this is just the greatest thing ever, that these desires can actually trump those desires of the flesh.
Yes.
And we can expect this. This isn't something that is just for a select few. This isn't just for the holy of holies, as far as the Christian roll call.
It's for those of us on this side of the microphone.
It's not just for the Billy Grahams of the world. This is for every single believer. Why? Because Jesus Christ has come to live inside every single believer. We have the same access to his resurrection power as any other believer. We're all equal as far as that is concerned.
Yeah.
We may have different giftings. We may have different callings or sendings. We may have different spheres of influence that we live and work among or in. But all of us, when we go into those various arenas of life, we all have the same Spirit living inside of us. And this same Spirit, this same grace of God, is going to teach all of us to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. So saying yes to God's Spirit means you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, and with Christ in you, you can say no to sin. Now, is that good news?
Oh, yeah.
I think that is just the absolute best news. So when you wake up tomorrow, don't think about the sin that's beset you in days past. Don't think about those struggles, those temptations. Think about the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, living in you. Think about the fact that Jesus' love is right there with you every single step of the way. Think about the fact that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead physically is living in you and is available to you. Think about the fact that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That will raise your expectations, and you will start saying no to sin and yes to Jesus. Well, this is Basic Gospel along with Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Christopher. Thank you so much for being a part of today's broadcast. We pray that this study is beneficial to you as you learn in your own day-to-day walk with Christ to walk in the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit be evident each and every day. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus. We'll see you on Monday with another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.